Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Father Matt Malone, Editor-in-Chief of America Magazine.
I'm Patty Gilger, joining him this week. I'm an associate editor here at America Media and happy to be here with you today, Matt.
Indeed. And we are also joined by another member of our staff, Brother Joe Hoover of the Society of Jesus and America Media, our poetry editor. Nice to have you in studio.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah. We now have on the line Sister Julia Walsh, who has written a piece for us at America called What We Have Learned 10 Years After Postville, the Largest Immigration Raid in U.S. History. And Sister Walsh is a member of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration and is on the staff at Marywood Franciscan Spirituality Center in northern Wisconsin. Sister, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, 10 years after this immigration raid, the largest immigration raid in U.S. history, you decided to talk about it again. And so, if you can let our listeners know, why did you think it was important to revisit, and what was the thesis of your piece?
Yeah, I think I was interested in sharing the story because it touched me personally. I grew up about 10 miles away from Postville and in the neighboring school district. And in the late 90s, when I was a teenager, I was really excited about the way that Postville was diversifying as more and more immigrants were coming into town to work in the meatpacking plants there.
And we should just let folks know that this is a tiny town in Iowa, right?
Yeah, tiny town. For Iowa standards, it's even considered small. It's a town about 2,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And so in the 90s, the story kind of even goes back further into the late 80s when a businessman, a Hasidic Jewish businessman from Brooklyn, New York, bought one of the meatpacking plants in order to transfer it into a kosher meatpacking plant. So sort of the first wave of non-Scandinavian or non-German people coming to the community were these people from New York City who came and settled and established their Jewish community there. And then shortly after that, they started employing immigrants from a lot of different countries. And I had a friend who was in high school who was from Russia, and I had another friend who was from Mexico. And so it was exciting for me because I lived really far away from big cities, so this was a way that I was being exposed to diversity and experiencing the richness of multiculturalism, and to me, really getting a taste of this is the kingdom of God. This is the way that
Wow.
God wants people to coexist peacefully and to mix our cultures and learn from one another. So I was thrilled by it. And then, but I left, went away to college, and then in 2008, nearly 1,000 ICE agents, immigration agents, came upon the town, and it was...
That's a town of 2,000 people, right? 1,000 ICE agents.
Yes, exactly.
A town of 2,000 people.
Definitely an overuse of force.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, this raid came upon the town, and by the end of the day, 389 people were arrested. And then they were transferred by buses to Waterloo, to the Cattle Congress, where they were basically put through an assembly line court system and very quickly sentenced to criminal charges and not immigration charges. So when I would go home to my parents over the years after the raid, I just really quickly saw the town changing in front of my eyes. I would drive through town and the storefronts were emptying and a lot of homes were for sale and people left the community. And I mean, the raid really impacted the small town and there was a lot of chaos. Yeah. So I was interested in exploring the question of how does this relate to how we're called to be church.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what happened, just before we get to that question, what happened to the community after this happened, after this occurred?
Yeah, so it impacted things economically. In fact, there was a little Catholic church in the town of Postville. St. Bridget's was in, was actually part of my parish cluster. So I had the same priest growing up. And the Postville community, like Sister Mary McCauley, who was a BVM sister, was on staff at the parish. And people immediately on that day, the day the raid happened, people started coming to the church for help. And for weeks, for months afterwards, it kind of became a little bit of a refugee camp in a way. People were sleeping in the pews. There were hundreds of people just there, hungry, crying, lost, praying. And so social workers, and a lot of chaos erupted. A lot of people went into hiding. People ran away. Eventually, people moved away. And I mean, really, it was like half of the town disappeared overnight.
Right.
And people went missing, and so social workers and lawyers had to do a lot of paperwork to try to track people down because they didn't know, were they hiding or were they arrested, and it was just a lot of chaos. And the U.S. government actually did this raid of agri-processors with the thinking, this is how we're going to very quickly deport a lot of people. They thought this was going to be the first of many, and the consequences were so complicated that they pretty much canceled their plan to keep trying.
Right.
So
this traumatic event occurs in the lives of these people and in the life of this town, probably changes it forever. And you go back and visit this story 10 years later. What did you find?
Yeah. It was interesting. I found that there's a lot of grief and there's a lot of mourning. I talked to a couple of people who were directly involved. For example, a man who worked at the radio station at the time of the raid. His name was Jeff Abbas, and he told me the story of how he started to share the news of what was going on in the legal battles and helped to feed the people that were started to organize a soup kitchen and feed the people that were without work and without food and get involved in the ministry that was going on at St. Bridget's. And but because it was such a small town, the board of this radio station was also made up of people who worked at agri-processors. And so eventually he lost his own job. And when I talked to him before, there was an anniversary, a 10-year event on May 11th to commemorate the 10th anniversary of this immigration raid. And I talked to him before the raid, and he's moved away from the town since then, and he was sharing with me how he didn't really want to go back because it would just bubble up a lot of the trauma and the pain for him and the sorrow of how that day and how it much it impacted his own life and how much it impacted the people that he loves and cares for. So the trauma is still very, very deeply felt.
It's still very real today.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the event that occurred in May to commemorate the anniversary, I was fascinated with the fact that St. Bridget's it's a little small town Catholic church, and there was probably about 1,000 people, I would estimate, that were in there. It was standing room only. I am not sure, though, about how many of the people that were there for the event were actually citizens of Postville today. I suspect that most of the people were people like myself who care deeply about the issue and care deeply about the community, but might have moved away since then or have came in from places as far away from as California where they now reside but remain concerned.
One of my favorite things is you begin the piece with this really beautiful description of this intercultural, interracial, interethnic experience, in Postville, and then this beautiful mixed scene, and then you say, "This I think is what the reign of God might look like, but this is not heaven." You say, "It is a tiny town in Iowa." Now, this is that was so great, and it just made me want to compliment you, and then also say this sounds exactly like Field of Dreams, and it made me really happy when you did.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have relatives from around this area too, and in Postville, and so to hear this, I was like, "That is incredible that you would have an experience like this of such diversity there."
Yeah. It truly impacted me, and the memory of attending the Taste of Postville when I was just a teenager in my 90s, I think it really influenced my faith as I developed it, you know, went through my college years and tried to understand what it meant to be a Christian.
Well, and speaking of your faith just a little bit, I apologize for interrupting you there. I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about the role the church played after the immigration raid on these plants. So you talked about the chaos that was caused, and then you said people came to the church. So that reminded me a little bit about, you know, Pope Francis's call for the church to be a field hospital there. But then in your, which is an incredibly beautiful story, and then we also have this gathering again 10 years later where people are coming back from outside. But it also seems like there were a lot of divisions that happened within the community and even within members of the church. And I wondered if you could say a little something about that and how we might deal with these kinds of divisions in the church, or what kind of things that the church is possible of overcoming. How are we even capable of overcoming divisions that run so deeply sometimes?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that's the question that I'm still pondering.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure what the answer is. When I was writing the piece, I was thinking a lot about the scripture, you know, in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, where Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Mm-hmm. And when that scripture has perplexed me for years, and as I understand it, and please correct me, fathers, if I'm wrong here. But I think what Jesus is telling us is that when we're faithful to the gospel and to building up the kingdom of God and pursuing it, that division is going to be sort of an inevitable consequence. So there's sort of this paradox of, like, while we are working for unity and peace, we then must make a stand and recognize that we probably will offend some people. Jesus follows that scripture by talking about how there's divisions right in the same families. And I think that that's part of what happened in the small town in Iowa, you know, in Postville, is in the surrounding communities as well, who are all impacted by the raid, is that it became very clear after the raid where people stood. But before the raid, it was like everyone was just being polite. It wasn't a secret that most of the workers in the plants were undocumented immigrants. But if people had opinions about that, they kept it to themselves. But then when there was the situation of crisis and trauma, and people started showing up and being generous and serving and caring for those who were suffering, it became clear through their actions how people wanted things to be different, and oftentimes disagreed with the raid. So,
yeah, Sister Julia, I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. You want to finish?
I just think that it's, I guess I just want to say that I don't know the answer to the question of how to work for unity besides being faithful to the call that Jesus has given us.
And what I love about your piece, and this is Joe, is that you... It just shows that the church, whatever individual Catholics do around this stuff, in this case, often it's the institutional hierarchical church that leads the way. I mean, the church is so clear on this. The bishops, the priests, the religious have been so clear on that we are a place of refuge from the Pope on down for immigrants. And so that this institutional church, St. Bridget's, said, "Come here, all who are, you know," I mean, it's almost scriptural.
That's right.
Tell anyone who is afraid to come to St. Bridget's. I mean, that's like, it's like a new gospel written by Sister Mary McCauley.
Right.
It's like, yes, that those are moments that make me very proud to be Catholic, because there's no nuance, there's no division, in a sense, in what the church officially says on this. Mm. Bishops from across the spectrum, church hierarchy across the spectrum is on the side of immigrants in these kind of moments.
Yeah, and Archbishop Hannes, who was the Archbishop of Dubuque at the time, was very highly involved. He was on the ground. He was in helping out in Postville in the aftermath of the raid. And he was present at the summons event this past May, along with the current Archbishop of Dubuque, Michael Jeckles. So their presence is, it's hierarchical. It's true that, and they're taking the leadership of showing, modeling for us how to live out the church's teachings. But then it's also coming from the ground. And so it's sort of this beautiful bridging of the people who are the ordinary Catholics and the people who are proclaiming the church's teachings.
Right.
Yeah, coming together in action. It's beautiful.
So, Sister, we have about 2 minutes left. What is what's happening in Postville today? And are we seeing the same kinds of divisions?
It's interesting. It's changed drastically because it's become a much more multicultural community. I'd like to just, with the limited time left, point people to a documentary that was made by Univision.
Go for it.
And it's called America First, The Legacy of an Immigration Raid. And it's all about Postville. It's 42 minutes long. You can watch it on YouTube. And they have a lovely website with graphics that kind of very quickly shows how things transferred, how the demographics have changed in just the 15 years. Really, since 2000 until 2016. And tells the story of the people who were impacted by the raid very well. Another great documentary is the one that's called Abused, the Postville Raid, and is made by Luis Argueta. Excuse my horrible Spanish.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you. I mean, thank you for this really terrific piece. What we have learned 10 years after Postville, the largest immigration raid in U.S. history. It's by Sister Julia Walsh, and we appreciate the article, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you've been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. You can find all of the articles we've talked about today at americamagazine.org/Sirius. And to subscribe to America, you can call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Father Patty Gilger and Brother Joe Hoover, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you, and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.